pull the trigger?
Gun safety.
How's that gun safety when you shoot somebody in the head? What do you mean?
Meet 20-year-old Christopher John Matthews, who doesn't understand the meaning of gun safety, or much else for that matter. He may have thought he was smart enough to get away with robbing and murdering Tanner Banderet, but law enforcement is about to discover that the only thing lower than Chris's actions is his IQ.
And then I started wiping down the car with, like, Jameson.
The liquor Jameson?
Sometimes I speak through music, so, like, tiptoe through the window.
On August 13th, 2020, at 6 p.m., a woman driving along a stretch of cornfields with her husband in Westminster, Colorado, noticed something that sent a chill down her spine. Sticking out of the golden stalks of corn was a pair of shoes. When she urged her husband to turn around for a second look, a horrible realization washed over them. The shoes belonged to a man who lay in the dirt with his face turned to the sky. His face, skin, and clothing were smeared with red, and it was clear he had been dead for hours. Using fingerprint analysis, law enforcement determined that the deceased man was 20-year-old Tanner Banderet, a local with a passion for sports, the outdoors, and trying new things. His zest for life and his youth had gotten him into trouble with substance abuse in recent years, but despite that, he maintained his gentle spirit and hope for the future. His ties with substance use and dealing left law enforcement with several different suspects to explore, one of whom was Christopher Matthews, the last person who called Tanner. Chris maybe could have fallen off the radar, except for the fact that when police tried to question him about his whereabouts on the night of Tanner's murder, he told them that he was asleep the whole night and had loaned his car and phone to a girl named Jessie Firk. After searching all databases available, detectives quickly discovered that Jesse didn't fucking exist. When law enforcement asked Chris if he could bring them a photo of Jesse, he told them that he was going to be in Las Vegas in various hotels for the next month, so he couldn't. With that, Chris promptly fled the state of Colorado, which is one way to turn yourself from a potential suspect into a prime suspect. After questioning Chris's brother Aaron and girlfriend Tara, law enforcement learned that Chris had confessed to both of them that he had killed a man and dumped him in a field. Law enforcement monitored Chris's movements via cell phone towers for several days. They watched as he traveled to Arizona and Nevada to evade capture, and then oddly, returned to Colorado, where he knew he was wanted. Using the warrant issued, law enforcement quickly apprehended Chris and took him into custody for questioning. The footage you're about to see was provided for us by the Westminster Police Department in Colorado. Our team of interrogation experts and forensic psychologists have thoroughly analyzed it to give you a deeper understanding of the mental state of both our suspect and the officers who are pursuing justice.
Some water, something to drink?
No.
You good? Okay. All right, just have a seat. We'll be here. There's some paperwork, procedural stuff we have to do and take care of, and then my partner and I will come in and talk to you, okay? All right. You doing okay?
Shook up.
I can imagine. We'll come in here and promise things will feel a lot calmer. Okay? I know this room's sterile and that kind of thing, but we're going to be okay. You want a mask?
No, I'm not afraid of COVID.
Okay.
Actually, if I could take you up on that water, though.
Yeah. Seriously, man. I'm not asking. I'm just going to ask. We'll get you some water.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. What's the
water, man? Yeah, you see? This is my partner, Detective Calhoun.
How you doing? Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
See, I didn't even talk to him, so we knew that you might want that. All right, we'll be back in just a few minutes, yeah. Okay? Just hang tight. If you need anything, the officer's right here.
Yeah, do you need anything? You all right?
In the bathroom?
I just peed while I was at the gas station.
Okay.
Okay. All right. We'll be right there.
All right.
Thank you.
Christopher Matthews is anything but calm, cool, and collected as the interrogation begins. Surely the detectives have paperwork to collect, but in addition, they're likely using this time to watch how Chris reacts to being left alone with his thoughts. While it will become clear that thinking isn't Chris's strong suit, the signs of anxiety he's showing, such as resting his head, bouncing his limbs, and struggling to answer the detectives' questions, aren't doing him any favors in the innocence department. Innocent suspects rarely react with such elevated levels of anxiety.
All right, Chris. Sorry to make you wait so long here.
You have my part?
Yeah, thank you. Introduce myself out there. You okay?
Yeah.
Introduce myself out there. I'm Detective Garcia. It's my partner, Detective Calhoun.
Matt.
He's the one I told you about that would be with me when we come over to talk to you.
Okay. Yeah, we appreciate you being cooperative as you have been. So.
Yeah.
Spell your last name for me.
M-A-T-T-H-E-W-S.
Okay, so we basically just have to go through some paperwork just so that you're aware of all your rights and that sort of thing, okay?
Okay.
Have you seen that on TV before when they do that?
Yeah. Excuse me.
Chris is really showing his anxiety here. Belching is a symptom of extreme anxiety due to the hyperventilation that can occur with a spike of adrenaline and cortisol, known as the stress hormones. Chris has every reason to be stressed, because pretty quickly, he makes it clear that despite being on the run for days, he hasn't thought very far ahead.
So tell us your side, man. Why do you think you're here?
Why do I think I'm here?
Yeah.
Because my car was in a crime scene.
And what kind of crime scene was that? What do you think?
It stated on your paper.
Uh-huh.
So.
Okay.
I guess you guys are investigating a murder of Tanner?
Yeah. How do you know Tanner, anyways?
Friends of friends.
Did you go to Legacy at all?
No.
Is that it? Okay. Because you went to Legacy, right?
I went to Frederick.
Is that he used to live up there, huh?
Yeah, I forgot.
His mom?
I'm not exactly sure. I didn't know him well.
Oh, okay.
How long have you known him, though? Just as an acquaintance, maybe not. Two or three years?
Yeah.
And he was more of an acquaintance back then?
Yeah, I was like just friends of friends.
Okay.
I'd see him in the halls, whatever.
Christopher's response when law enforcement asked him what crime scene his car was found at is telling. He responded, "It's stated on your paper," to avoid answering the question and put some distance between himself and the crime. As he tells law enforcement about his background with Tanner, he continues trying to maintain that distance. He states that he and Tanner were just acquaintances and that he would drive Tanner around to pick up substances, but they had barely talked in quite some time. After some chit-chat about his relationship with Tanner, detectives return to the subject at hand, his murder. And this time, Chris has a story he's ready to tell. Unfortunately for him, it's an utterly ridiculous one.
You said that you know that you're here because somebody borrowed your car? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
You told a different detective that, right, over the phone?
I told a detective that over the phone, yeah.
Yeah. And tell me about that.
So, basically, honestly, I'm just going to come forth and tell you that was a lie.
Okay. We appreciate that.
Yeah. And we've done a lot of work, so we kind of already knew that.
Yeah.
But I think this is your opportunity to be as candid as possible and just tell us what happened, man.
Yeah.
And we want to know your side.
He was in the car with me.
Tanner was?
Yeah.
Where'd you pick him up?
Pecos and 116.
The apartments there?
Yeah.
Okay. So what happened?
And then we drove down to Pecos. We hit the 7-Eleven. And then we're driving back. And then he tried to reach for a gun.
Huh.
For what gun?
For my gun.
He tried to reach for your gun?
Yeah.
Where was your gun at?
My gun was in the center console.
Just sitting there?
Yeah.
Is it the gun that's in the car now?
No.
That's a different gun. Okay. And so what happened?
Basically, he reached for it, and then I shot him.
How'd that go down? Because he was shot right here.
Yeah.
So, how did that happen? There's a whole lot more that happens when you shoot somebody in the head. So, what give us details?
We struggled for a bit. I mean, I was driving down the road, and then he reached for the gun, and it was self-defense.
Sure.
So, tell me, did he say anything?
No.
When he reached for it, he just...
Yeah.
He just reached for it.
Did he actually get a hold of it?
No. I got a hold of it first.
You just saw him reaching toward it?
Yeah.
And then what happened?
And then... I shot him.
When you were in your car?
Yeah.
Still driving? Where was that at? Or exactly what do you think that...
Pecos.
Pecos and what? Like cross streets?
Was it 116th.
Like 116th and Pecos?
It was still by those apartments?
Yeah.
Okay, so then what happened?
And then I didn't know what to do. I was scared.
Sure. Just shot somebody in your car.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah.
So what'd you do?
I should have took him to the ER, thinking about it.
Yeah. But what did you do?
I took him to a field.
Okay.
I didn't know what else to do.
I bet you panicked at that point, huh?
Yeah.
I'm pretty scared too. That's a long ways to drive. Was he dead right away?
Yeah.
Really?
And I don't know. I was just freaking out.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Tell us about that, man. Yeah. Walk us through the emotion. Because I told you in the beginning, there's two stories. Yeah. Tell us your version. Tell us everything. I mean, I want to be with you and in the car. Help us understand the self-defense part of this.
Yeah, because who else? It was just you and him in the car, or was there somebody else in there?
No, there's nobody else in the car.
Okay, so what? Tell us what happened.
He reached for my gun. I grabbed it, and then I pointed it at him and shot him in the head.
What did he do when he pointed at him?
What
did he do when he pointed at him?
He tried to grab it.
You tried to grab it when you were pointing it at him?
Yeah.
So did you guys struggle over the gun?
Not like terribly, but he grabbed it.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, take your time.
He tried to grab it, and then I grabbed it, and I went like that.
Okay. So you're in the driver's seat. Some point. And did you touch his head with it?
I don't have any idea if I touched his head with it or not.
Okay. So you pointed the gun at his head.
Yeah.
What did he say anything?
I mean, he was trying to reach for my gun, but
did he say like, "Don't shoot me" or anything, or?
He was trying, I don't know, honestly. It's memories that I have repressed.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a very
But traumatic. This is really important to get this all out. I mean, this is really for your benefit.
Yeah.
So, and we appreciate your candor, so. So what? How did you shoot this guy? What happened?
I just remember picking up the gun after he tried to grab it, and then I pointed it at him and shot him, and then after that, I was just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Absolutely. I totally get that.
And then...
You drove a long ways. You had a dickhead on the other side of your car. I mean, you're freaking out.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, sure.
At that point, it's like, do I bring him to the ER? Or... What? Like, he's sitting there gargling.
He's gargling?
Yeah.
Really?
Just blood all over the place.
Is there a lot of blood?
Yeah.
Did it get on YouTube?
Yeah, I got on one of my shirts.
Okay. So, what'd you do? We drove south, apparently, obviously.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, I was just like, I found a field, and I was like, I don't know if I should just put him here. That's what was going on in my head at that moment.
Yeah.
And then I put him in the field, and I was just like freaking the fuck out.
I guess.
Because killing somebody, whenever you kill somebody, it's just, you're never the same after it.
Sure.
You probably haven't been sleeping much since then.
No, not really.
So when you got to the field, what happened from there? Walk us through that.
Basically, I grabbed him out of the car, and then I pulled him into the cornfield. I don't know what kind of field it was, but I dragged him into the field, and then that was it. And then I jumped back in my car.
Okay. When you drug him into the field, was he still gurgling, or was he?
He was out.
He was out by then.
No, and then I took off my shirt while I was driving to cover his head.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Just because? Why?
Just because I don't know. I just...
What'd you see after you shot him?
It was trauma. Like, I try not to go back into it.
Yeah, I understand.
Unfortunately, we're going to need to go through it in some detail today. And I know it's traumatic to have to relive it, but these things really happened.
Yeah.
And you can't take it back, right?
I mean, no.
It's something that went bad, but we... You have to own your part of it. It is what it is, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing we can do to make that go away. This is something that happened.
Yeah.
And so we just put the whole story out of what happened, and then, because we want to know, we weren't there. Like, we knew that you shot this guy, you know, but we didn't really know the context of how that happened. Like, even if you're just like cold-blooded, execute this guy, or if there was some...
I wouldn't do that unless my life was in danger.
Christopher's choice to instantly label his murder of Tanner as self-defense raises some red flags, and the story itself doesn't make much sense in the first place. He claims that Tanner reached for the gun while Chris was driving, yet somehow, Chris managed to grab the gun first. Then, instead of stopping the car or moving the gun, Chris chose a scorched earth approach, shooting his friend while he continued to drive. While Chris is spectacularly failing this interrogation, law enforcement is doing a phenomenal job of using a reframing and normalization technique to create a safe environment where Chris will feel like they're on his side. By minimizing Chris's crime and pretending to understand his perspective, they're likely making him more open to talk. And boy, does he.
But he never touched the gun, right?
He never touched that gun, right? He was reaching for it, but...
So you just grabbed it out and then shot him?
Yeah.
So, was the agreement... How much was the agreement for the money?
For the ounce?
Yeah.
It was $1,200.
It was?
And I paid him $1,200.
Oh, it wasn't $1,000?
I don't know. I'm getting different numbers mixed up from different people.
Okay. How much money did you go there with?
I had $1,400 on me.
$1,400 on you?
Yeah.
And how much did you give him?
I gave him $12.
Okay. And then after you gave him the $12, did he give you the...
He reached for the gun.
Right after you gave him the money?
Yeah.
And where was your gun? Was it just sitting out in the open? Or?
Yeah, I was sitting in the center console.
Okay.
What kind of gun was it?
It was a Glock 30.
Okay. Where is that gun now?
I don't know.
You got rid of it.
I got rid of it.
Yeah. And how'd you get rid of it?
I traded it for the revolver.
Okay. And who'd you do that with?
My friend.
It's okay. We might already know this. We need to hear it from you, though.
I prefer not to share the name of it.
Well, this is the thing, though, is that you're being very cooperative and good with this, and that's great. But to help other people that are associated, you probably want to keep them out of it, right? You don't want them to get in trouble. But this is what I'm telling you. A lot of times, detectives, I'm just giving you a little bit of a clue, we ask you things we already know, mm-hmm. So we need to corroborate their stories. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because if they're lying, then guess what? They're helping you, and they could go down for this, too. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so who did you trade it with?
My friend Trevor.
Trevor?
Yeah.
And what's Trevor's last name?
I think it's like Wincliffe.
Trevor Wincliffe?
Something like that. I don't know his last name.
So you just traded straight across?
Yeah.
Did he have any idea why you're training guns or anything?
He had the revolver, and he's been wanting the 30 for forever.
So you just knew it was a good... He thought it was a good trade. Did he know what happened? Why you were trading him?
No.
Did he know you shot somebody with it?
No.
See, that's why we need to get that back. We want to have him walk around with a gun with a body on it, you know?
I guess he's already got it gone, too.
Oh, he already sold it?
He already sold it.
Okay.
And then there is an extended magazine in my car for it.
Okay. What caliber is that?
45.
Okay.
Was that clip in it that day when that accident happened?
It's very convenient that Chris's friend Trevor already got rid of the murder weapon. It seems like Chris believes that once law enforcement thinks the weapon is out of his hands and floating around in the criminal underground, they'll give up looking for it. Just hours after this interview, detectives contacted Chris's friend Trevor to discover that he and Chris hadn't talked in several years and were former co-workers, not friends.
So let's fast forward from there. I know that I can imagine that things are just chaotic.
And I'm in complete panic mode at this point.
I can seriously see that. I can imagine that. I can see it.
Yeah.
So from there, what happened? What'd you do?
I drove around aimlessly.
With him in there?
No.
After
he dropped him. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, sure.
I was freaking the fuck out. I would too. Then I went to Tara's house.
Did you go straight to her house, or did you go home first change?
I went home first to change.
Okay. Because then you talked to Tara for a little bit, right?
I don't know.
Did she call you?
When?
Tara, that night? Right before you went over?
I think I called her.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure.
That's okay.
Details.
So you went home and changed, and then you went to her house?
I believe so.
And that's what happened?
Yeah.
And then what happened?
And then from there, I was like, I just killed somebody.
You told Tar that?
And then what happened?
Uh, I don't really remember.
Okay.
I was like at a...
You're still panicking.
I'm still panicking, but like it was like a weird panic, and it was like I'm freaking the f*** out mentally, and then from there it's just I don't.
You just kind of went into survive mode? Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah. And like, I don't know, sometimes whenever I'm like, I try to turn shit into humor, because if I turn it into humor, I hope that it'll get my head out of that, and like, but...
How'd you do it on that one?
I don't even remember.
Yeah.
I think I just started trying to like, turn humorous brain on to get rid of trauma.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But...
How'd you learn how to do that?
I don't know, I just feel like I've always thought that like laughter and like humor is better than, you know, sitting in complete terror and just...
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that's how you were feeling up until then?
Yeah, I was freaking out. And then I showered and like I started to collect myself a little bit after I showered, but I'm still like trembling.
Is it Tara's house?
No. That was at my house.
You showered at your house?
I believe so.
Turning to humor is a standard coping mechanism when someone is faced with trauma, though in Chris's case, it's serving as a regulation technique to maintain his comfort and avoid feeling any guilt or remorse about shooting Trevor. We've established that Chris is no criminal mastermind, and his decision to immediately tell his girlfriend Tara that he killed someone only further backs that up. But it's what Chris tells detectives next that leaves them utterly speechless, not because of how terrible it is, but because of how naive it is.
Where did you start cleaning up your car at? Did you just leave it at your house? Did you clean it at your house? Or how did you clean up your car?
I cleaned it mainly in the garage of my house. I no longer live there.
Where was that at?
Which one's that?
I don't know. It's by Westlake.
By Westlake, okay.
Over Ralph Grove?
Yeah.
So you drove into the garage there?
Yeah, I parked it in the garage.
Did you usually park in the garage there?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Okay.
I paid an extra $50 for the garage.
That makes sense. And then tell me about that. Tell me about cleaning the car. What was going through your head?
I was like, this car, I don't know. I was just like, I have to drive this car to get to and from work and handle what I need to handle. But at that point, I was like, I complete panic mode. I grabbed rags, and then I started wiping down the car with, like, Jameson. I didn't know what else to use.
The liquor Jameson?
Yeah.
Okay. Why did you use that?
I have no idea.
Do you think it was, like, be like an antiseptic or something, or because of the alcohol?
I don't know. It was just the only thing I had.
Okay.
I mean,
that's why your car smelled so goofy, huh?
The only thing goofier than the smell of Chris's car is his choice to try and clean up a crime scene with whiskey. Perhaps this goes without saying, but using Jameson is not an effective method to remove evidence. At 40% alcohol by volume, it's woefully incapable of concealing blood, fingerprints, or other DNA evidence that a criminal wouldn't want at a crime scene.
So you cleaned it in the garage at your house?
Yeah.
You rent a room there?
Well,
rent a room there?
I did.
You did. And that's, so you cleaned it there?
Correct.
And then you got most of it clean there?
Yeah.
Okay. What'd you do with the rags and stuff there?
I threw them in a dumpster.
Where?
It was like one of the home builder dumpsters.
Okay. Why'd you do that?
Near Westcliff? Westlake there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why'd you do that?
Why did I throw them out?
And then why'd you put them in a home builder dumpster?
Just because my dad, we lived off Sunset Place, and it was a brand new housing development, and we just got used to like throwing all of our boxes and anything we didn't really need. And
do you throw them away to get rid of the evidence, basically? The blood?
I mean,
it makes sense. Yeah, okay. That's fine.
You still want to be carrying around a bunch of bloody rags.
I don't know what to do with a bunch of bloody rags.
Sure. Sure.
And so did you get the majority of it clean there?
Yeah, for the most part.
Okay. And then from there you went to Tyrus?
Yeah.
Okay. And did you stay the night there? Did you sleep there?
Yeah.
Okay. When you told her, what did she say? How did she react to this?
She continued to console me.
Just help you try to come out of panic.
Yeah.
Okay. So then let's fast forward a little bit. You took a nap there? You slept there?
I slept there for a little bit.
Okay. And then what happened?
And then I don't really know what happened from there. I just continued to stay at her house and go about regular business.
Okay. You guys left, though, that next day, right from her house?
I'm not exactly sure.
Well, when you left Tara's house, where did you go from there?
What day?
The day after.
The day after.
What did we do the day after?
Yeah.
I honestly don't remember.
Okay. Did you go to where your mom used to live?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about that.
So basically we went to where my mom used to live. Mm-hmm. And she was doing her own thing, and I was in the garage trying to clean the car.
Who is she? Who are you talking about? Tara or your mom?
Tara.
Yeah.
And then my mom, she didn't even know what was going on. She was in the kitchen making food.
Okay. And tell me, there at your mom's house, what's the street address? Do you know that address? Okay. And where did you clean the car at?
In the garage.
In the garage. Did you shut the garage?
I believe so.
Okay. And tell me how the process you went through cleaning it there.
I used a steam cleaner and pulled out the seats.
You pulled out the seats. Did you pull up the carpet or just a steam cleaner?
Did I pull up the carpet?
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't replace the carpet.
Okay.
His DNA is still in the carpet.
Okay. But did you try to pull the carpet out, or you just steam cleaned it?
I just steam cleaned it.
Okay. Was there still a lot of blood?
Yeah, and there was, like, chunks of brain matter. And
where was that at?
Where was...
The brain matter.
Just inside the car.
Was it in the back, the front?
All over.
All over. Where was he sitting when you had shot him?
The passenger seat.
In the front or the back? The front.
In the front.
Okay. And this is going to be hard, but I kind of want you to walk me through this just so we can follow this, okay?
You're doing really good.
You are.
Yeah.
And if you need some water, take a drink. Do you need some water? Is it gone?
It's all right.
Okay, we'll get some.
I'll get you some.
We'll get some.
Excuse my reach.
Chris reaching for his cup immediately after law enforcement suggests he take a drink is a great tell for detectives that Chris fawns to authority and has a malleability to things they suggest. This will make it easy for them to get answers. That being said, the answer that Chris is about to give is perhaps one of the most ridiculous they've ever heard.
So, when you lean back, you grab the gun, and you demonstrated it. Show me how that was. Was it a reach out when you shot him? Were you here? Show me your body position.
Okay, so he's right here.
Okay.
Say I'm in the passenger seat right now. He reached for it, and then I went like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the passenger seat?
No. Okay, so Tanner's in the passenger seat. I'm Tanner right now.
Okay.
He goes for the gun, and then I'm driving, and then I grab the gun from the center console, because I saw him reaching for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I shot him.
And when you shot him, what was his body position? What was he doing? Was he just sitting there? Show me how he looked when that happened.
I think he was trying to reach for it, like, sly-like.
Okay.
So it was slow? Like, you reached a little slowly for it?
I don't know. It's just like you're not trying to grab it quick-like,
mm-hmm.
but, like, you're trying to grab it. I don't know.
So he didn't, like, lunge for it. He just kind of, like, was moving his hand that way?
Yeah.
And then you grabbed it and shot him?
Yeah, because, like, you don't reach towards the center console where a gun's at or another man's gun's at.
Sure.
Okay.
Why did you decide to pull the trigger?
I was always told with gun safety, if you're going to aim a gun at anybody, Right. If you point a gun at somebody in gun safety, your intent is to shoot them.
Yeah. So that was your intent.
I mean, if you point a gun at somebody, you have to be in the position to where your life is in danger enough.
And why was your life in danger?
Because he was reaching for my gun.
Okay. How far away did his hand get from the gun, you think?
It'd be easier to show it, like, in my car. But I don't know, maybe like 4 inches from the gun.
Okay. His hand was about 4 inches from the gun?
Yeah.
Going kind of slow towards it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. So, and just kind of going back to it, so he's sitting in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
You grab the gun first. Walk us slowly through that. What happens from there? What does he do?
He reached for the gun first.
So after he does that.
Yeah.
But you get the gun first, and then what happens from that?
And then I pointed the gun at him.
And when you did that, what did he do?
I don't know.
Did he turn away from you, or?
It all happened.
I think I hit right here. So he must have been looking away from you.
Yeah, it all happened in the blink of an eye, honestly.
It was very quick.
Yeah, and I just remember gunshot, blood splatter, and then gargle.
And how long did that occur, the gargling?
I don't know, 5-10 minutes.
He was gargling in your car for 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Was that while you were driving?
What do you mean, is that why I was driving?
Is that while you were driving? Yeah. Sorry, I talked kind of fast, like I said before, so forgive me.
Yeah, that was while I was driving.
God, that must have been pretty scary.
Yeah, I was freaking out.
Imagine so.
Did you see, so you shot him, you saw where you had shot him, and then where all was he bleeding from?
I
couldn't tell.
No, I was just trying to figure out what to do at that point and try to, I don't know, in that point I was in panic mode, complete panic mode.
You said you covered him with your shirt?
Yeah, I took my shirt off and I covered his face.
As you were driving?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Where is that shirt?
I don't know. It should be in the dumpster as well with everything.
The rags?
Yeah.
Gun safety is generally in place to prevent you from shooting people, but it seems Chris took the rules a bit too literally. Perhaps the most important rule in gun safety lessons is never point your gun at something you do not intend to shoot, which is supposed to deter you from aiming your gun at people or houses. Chris, on the other hand, seems to believe that if you point your gun at something, you have to shoot it. Unfortunately for him, that will probably not hold up in court. His repetition of "I don't know" also isn't going to help him when things move to trial. It's likely that Chris remembers the answer to everything that law enforcement is asking him, but by evading giving them answers, he can mentally distance himself from being culpable. But that's going to get harder and harder to do as law enforcement begins to ask questions about what happened when he picked Tanner up the night of the murder.
So then you guys get in the car. Explain that part of it to me. When he first gets in the car, mm-hmm. How does the deal go down? Do you do it right there? Do you drive off a little bit? Or
so basically when I parked, mm-hmm. I saw a white Dodge, mm-hmm. and it looked like it had cameras on the side. Huh. And I was like, bro, like, your house just got raided today. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever. But he's like, no, we're good, we're good. Just pull up to the gas station up there. And I was like, okay, cool, whatever. I'm here. Might as well do it.
Yeah.
And then we went to the gas station. And then we drove back.
To the apartment?
So we drove from 116th down to Pecos because there was a cop right there. And then we drove back that way.
Back which way?
Back to the apartment.
Oh, okay.
And then we hand-to-handed it in the middle of the street.
On Pecos or in the apartments?
In Pecos.
Okay. Still right around 116th, right?
Yeah.
And then when that happened, you gave him the money. Is that correct?
Yeah, I gave him the money while we were going down Pecos.
Okay.
And then he reached for my gun.
Was there argument or anything? Did he say, did you say where's the at, or, you know?
I was like, where's it at? And then, you know, and then he reached for my gun.
Okay. So there was there an argument or just maybe even like a going back and forth a little bit about the money and the
Kinda, not really. Basically, he was, I don't know necessarily like where he was at with his life in that moment. And like his entire house just got raided.
Sure.
So like, I'm not sure if he was like in a spot where he was like, you know what, like, I'm gonna take this dude's shit because I'm in a position to where I'm not okay. So I'm not sure if that's what, I don't know. But we didn't really exchange words. He and I never really exchanged words, ever.
What about then, though? Was there, you gave him the money, am I correct on that?
Yeah, I gave him the money and I was like, dude, where's my shit? And then he reached for the gun.
Okay. That's where I was getting at. That's what I was wondering. Okay. And then that's what everything else took place.
Yeah.
Okay. And then let's keep going with that. So then everything happens. You panic. You go to the field.
Yeah.
And when you pull him out, he's gurgling as you're driving.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just recapping because I need to make sure it's all flowing right in my mind.
Correct us if we got it wrong.
Yeah. This is, I'm just putting together what you told me and I'm seeing if I'm interpreting it correctly.
Okay.
You're driving, he's gurgling, I take it he's bleeding.
Yeah.
And how is he sitting? Is he leaned over? Is he leaned over towards you? What's
his? He was leaned over this way, and then at one point we went around a turn and he was leaning on me, so I pushed his head over and then grabbed my shirt off.
And put it over him?
Yeah.
And was he still gurgling at that point?
I believe so.
Okay. And you're driving, by now, where do you think you're at when you're driving and the shirt's over his head?
I don't really remember what street I was at.
Okay. And let's rewind just a little bit. When this happens, where's your phone at?
Where's my phone at?
Yeah.
My phone was with me.
With you?
Yeah.
Okay. And did you turn it off?
I don't remember. I think my phone was pretty close to dead.
Okay.
Because I was listening to music, and I hadn't charged my phone all day. I was charging my AirPods instead of my phone.
So you were playing music through your phone on your car, through your car, is that right, through Bluetooth or something?
I think so.
Okay. Did it stop playing at that point, or tell me about that?
My phone was at like 5% or low battery.
Okay. Did it shut off then?
Yeah.
It did. And were you at the apartment still when that shut off?
Yeah.
Chris has repeatedly avoided mentioning things he did to cover up his crime in an attempt to look more innocent. In reality, though, it only makes law enforcement more certain of his guilt. If you recall, he told law enforcement that he didn't know why he threw away the rags when it was an attempt at getting rid of evidence. Now, he's claiming that his phone miraculously happened to die when he picked up Tanner. Remember, this is a man who law enforcement watched turn his phone off and on for weeks in a futile attempt to avoid being tracked. In addition, Tanner's phone was turned off nearly the same time that Chris's supposedly died. It's clear Chris hasn't really thought of the implications of that.
When you see the field, what happens? Where are you at and what happens? Are you driving down Federal? Down Lowell?
I think it's Federal.
Okay.
And then I was like, okay, well, I see a field. I don't know what else to do.
And then what happened?
And then I drove into the field, and then I got out of my car, walked over, and pulled him by, I believe, his wrists. I'm not exactly sure what part of the body I dragged him out by.
Okay. I assume he was still bleeding. Did he get blood on you?
Yeah, and then I went home and took a shower.
Okay.
How did you guys, this is going to sound silly, but I saw him when he was in that field. How did you get out of your car? Like, did you get out of your door, out of the passenger door? How did you get out?
I got out of the passenger, the driver's side.
And then where did you go?
And then,
did you go around the front or the back, or?
I don't honestly remember.
Okay.
If I went around the front or the back.
Okay. Because there's a couple different sets of shoe prints over there. And so it made me kind of feel like there's another person
really?
That was with you.
No. There was nobody else with me.
Okay.
Do you remember what kind of shoes you were wearing?
I think they were Vans.
Okay.
Where are those? They're in a dumpster.
Okay. So you threw away all your clothes?
Yeah.
Okay. What's that, this is going to sound silly. What size shoe are you wearing?
I have no idea. It kind of varies on which ones it is.
Okay. So then you leave, and then you go to your house, you shower, you change.
Mm-hmm.
Was it before Terrace that you threw your clothes in the rags that you cleaned the car out with? Or when did you do that? Was it before you went to Terrace, directly after you showered and changed?
I think I waited a while. I waited like a day or two.
Before you threw that away?
Yeah, I was just kind of sitting in my trunk.
Okay. And then you went back and threw it away over there?
Yeah.
Because you knew there was construction there?
Yeah.
Okay. And when you were at Terrace, and then you went to your mom's house and you cleaned there,
mm-hmm.
right? At what point did Aaron show up at your house?
I don't remember.
Was it that day?
Yeah.
Okay. And then what happened from there?
He started questioning what the f*** I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dude, I just killed somebody.
When was that?
What?
When you told Aaron that?
Right then and there. When he started freaking, or before he started freaking out.
Was that at your mom's house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what did he tell you to do? Because he's got a little more experience, but now he's got out of prison, right?
Yeah.
So were you trying to get some advice from him?
No, I was just like, dude, I mean, like, kind of, yeah.
Sure.
I was like, dude, like, I don't know how to deal with this, like, mentally. I don't know. I was asking him for, like, mental help, not really,
yeah.
like, what to do.
Did he give you any advice on, like, how to cover it up?
No.
No? What did he tell you to do?
He said, dude, like, you're going to have to deal with it. He said, okay, so basically with all of my other charges that I've had, he's always been the one who makes me turn myself in.
Really?
Usually, yeah. So I had some eluding charges.
Okay.
And he told me, bro, stop shitting in your dirty underwear, like as a metaphorical term.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, don't keep racking up charges after charges after charges.
Right.
Just go handle it and get it done with.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So,
pretty advice.
Aaron did give Chris some good advice, but instead of going to the police, Chris continued to sit in, as he called it, his dirty underwear. Instead of facing the murder charge, he fled the state, adding to a long list of charges.
Tell me about that conversation. What happened with that?
He was just like, dude, you're f***ed. I was like, dude, it's self-defense. You know? He was like, dude, like, I don't know what to tell you. Because I don't think he's ever killed anybody to my knowledge.
And then what did he tell you to do?
He was like, you could either run or you could stay here and face the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
He told me I should probably just stay and get it done and over with. Because you guys are going to catch up to me eventually.
And then what happened? What did you do?
From there, I just hung out for a couple days.
Where at?
Tara's house.
Most of the time there?
Most of the time.
And then what led you to leave?
To leave?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. Honestly.
Did you leave that night or close to the first couple of days? Did you take off then?
Yeah, I took off to Arizona. Went to Chloride.
Where's that at?
It's this town's name's Chloride.
In
it's
Arizona?
A mining town. Chloride.
Chloride.
Yeah.
It's a what town?
That's a mining town.
Okay.
Like an old mining town.
Why'd you go there?
I don't know. I just...
Did you know it? Have you been there before?
No. I don't know. I was just like, okay, I need to clear my mind. I need to get this out of my head and go do something and maybe run, because like I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to continue to I lied obviously over the phone to the other detectives. Nobody yeah. borrowed my car, it was me.
Sure.
But sometimes fessing up to it,
it's hard.
Yeah,
respect you for it.
I mean, so when you talked to that detective, is that when you left? Were you scared after you talked to him and you're like, oh god, the cops just called me?
Yeah.
And did you leave directly after that?
I think so. I was like, oh shit, I gotta get out of here. And then I went to Chloride, and then my mom met me in Laughlin. And then we went gambling. And
in Laughlin?
Yeah.
Where'd you gamble at?
Hara's, Golden Nugget, all over.
Do anything?
Not too much.
Not too much.
I mean, I was just kind of bouncing. I'm not supposed to gamble at 20, but
yeah.
I just tell them I left my ID in my car.
Chris may not be good at lying to investigators, but he is very good at digging himself and everyone around him into a deeper hole. Not only did he admit earlier that he cleaned his car at his mom's, he is now telling detectives that his mother met up with him and likely helped him while he was on the run. It takes a unique criminal to give cops enough evidence to arrest their own mother for aiding and abetting. In addition, going gambling after you've admitted to murdering someone doesn't particularly make you look innocent, especially when you're going gambling illegally on top of that.
From Laughlin, we went to Las Vegas a couple times, and then I came out with like a grand off of a machine.
Nice.
Yeah, and then my mom was like, hey, break me off. Like, I was like, all right, fine, you know what, whatever, here's $500.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and then next thing you know, all her money's gone. All my money's, like, I got enough money for gas that I had in my Cadillac booklet for my operator's manual. And I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm going to go back to Colorado.
Okay. And then what happened?
And then I drove to Albuquerque, picked up some hitchhikers on the side of the road, hung out in Albuquerque for a day, and it was weird. Basically, the dude was like, I need you to, it's my birthday, I need you to like run and do this and this and this and this and this. And I was like, okay, whatever. So I hung out in Albuquerque for a little bit.
To some random guy you just met? Or?
Yeah, he was like, hey, dude, like, it's my birthday. You want to party with me? Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, cool. I'll party with you. So.
And what'd you guys party with?
Beer, Smirnoff, and then they made me hit clear, and I try to stay away from clear and black, just because like that's what my brother was mainly addicted to. So like that's just the shit that I...
It scares you a little bit, right?
I mean, I've done them, but it's just like I don't want to ever do them again. But the dude was like, you gotta hit it. So, and it was like this big ass dude, so.
Make it a little intimidating?
Yeah.
So you hit up some, when did you do that?
What was that, last night?
Last night?
Yeah.
And where was that at?
Albuquerque.
Okay.
And I drove from Albuquerque to Colorado overnight.
Which way did you go?
I don't remember. I remember I stopped in a couple of state parks. Okay. Just because I was looking at scenery. I like nature.
Okay.
Makes sense.
So let's rewind back to after Tara's, after you leave, your mom's on King.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go out of state then?
No.
And then come back?
Oh, yeah, I did.
And tell me about that.
Basically, I went to Gold City, and then, or Cities of Gold, I went to a hotel over there, spent a night there, and then, like, lost my wallet or thought I lost my wallet and didn't really lose my wallet, so I came back and I was just like, okay, well, I'm just going to wait it out.
Hey, Chris, I got to tell you, I'm pretty impressed with your candor. I really respect that. I mean, I know things went bad, but, I mean, you volunteered to come talk to us and you just did it on your own, so we appreciate that. I respect that. I mean, a lot of people don't have the ability to stand up like that, so, you know.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and bullshit you.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't, like, threaten you or promise you anything, so it's nice that you just took it upon yourself to be honest. I think it's cool.
And it feels good, right? I mean, that's just human nature.
Yeah.
You've been holding this back for so long. It's a very traumatic thing that happened to you.
Yeah, it sucks.
Does it feel good to have it off your chest?
It feels good to, like, actually release the, like, entire story.
Yeah, sure.
Yes, so. Exactly. And that's why we're going through it, to help you through that process.
Yeah.
How did this make you feel?
It drove me, like, absolutely crazy.
Like, were you mad or were you, like, sad or...
I was getting mixed emotions.
What were they?
Like, I just remember it, and, like, I just start sobbing out of nowhere.
Law enforcement does a phenomenal job of continuously making Chris feel as if they're on his side, which quickly leads to him divulging more information. However, something tells them that Chris's sobbing out of nowhere may not be completely accurate, since he spent multiple days gambling and partying with hitchhikers, and then made yet another illogical choice immediately after.
And then I went camping.
Okay.
I went camping, actually, where you guys followed me from.
Okay.
I was camping up there with some buddies.
Okay. Why'd you go back up there today?
Just because I was like, you know what, whatever.
Just driving?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like nature.
Okay. So then when you come back, and then when is it, what point did you decide, you know what, I need to get out of town? When was that?
At first, like, right after I was talking to Aaron, he was like, either do it now or do it later. And I was like, do it later. Or do it now, like, leave. He was like, you have two options here. Do it now. Or do it later, they're going to find you either way. I was like, fine, I'll just take the later option.
Right.
So he's saying you should turn yourself in an hour later?
He was recommending that I turn myself in then and there.
Oh, okay.
But.
So then you go down, and you said your mom met you in Laughlin?
Yeah.
And tell me about that. How did all that happen?
What do you mean?
Did you call her, say, this is where I'm at? She call you? How did you arrange to get there?
I think she called me, and she's like, Aaron's not okay, Aaron's in jail, this, that, and another. Or no, that was, I don't know. She was like, where are you? I want to come have dinner. And I'm like, oh, I'm in Arizona. She's like, what are you doing in Arizona? And I was like, I don't know.
Did you tell her what happened?
I didn't want to tell my mom that I killed somebody at that point.
Did you tell her, though?
In person, yeah.
When did you tell her?
When I saw her in Laughlin.
What'd she do?
She freaked out.
Yeah.
As well. Just about as much as Aaron did.
What was her advice to do at that point?
She was like, she didn't really have advice for me.
I mean, did she think you should turn yourself in, or did she think you should run, or?
She told me to turn myself in.
She did?
She recommended it.
So it's the right choice.
Yeah, I should have.
Yeah.
But
then you stay in Arizona, though, right? You go down, and you're staying down in some areas down in Arizona. Is that correct? Uh-huh. Where'd you stay down there?
Where did I stay in Arizona? Mm-hmm. Chloride.
Yeah, and where else?
I camped.
You just camped?
Pretty much.
When you say camp, was it just like pulling over in parking lots or?
Tent, parking lots, whatever.
Okay, just kind of slept in different places all the time?
Yeah.
Were you in town or were you outside of town when you were camping?
Depending on the scenario.
Okay. So the towns, because we know that you had pawned some stuff.
Uh-huh.
What towns were you in with that?
On the way back from Vegas, mm-hmm. I pawned... What did I pawn there? A diamond bracelet. Mm. And then I pawned an impact and a drill the Mr. Pawn in Laughlin, or Bullhead City.
Bullhead City. That's close to Laughlin?
Yeah.
So, and why were you pawning those things? Were you running out of money?
Yeah, Mom and I were running out of money, and then I was like, I need money to get back home.
So. Was that her bracelet?
No, it was mine. One of my friends actually gave it to me as a gift.
That was nice.
Yeah.
So what happened to your mom from there?
I don't know. She was freaking out, and I drove to where we were staying. Her car wasn't there. So I was just like, whatever, I'm done. I'm not going to sit here and wait for her to let me inside of this house, you know, that a friend was letting us stay at. So from there, I was like just about to leave. I ended up sleeping in my car one night. And then the next night, she called me. And she's like, hey, let's meet. And then she's like, I'm broke. And I'm like, okay, well, like, I got enough money to get me home. Mm. So I was like, I could get you home too. But then, like, we got into a fight. My mom and I are always in fights.
What was this fight about?
The money. She always goes gambling, loses all the money, and then wants to fight about it. She's like, you lost all my money, you know? But it's like, I think it was a team effort here.
Yeah. And it was your money, right?
I mean, she came with $3,500.
Oh, okay.
But I had, like, a grand on me. Mm-hmm. So.
And so she lost all her money.
Yeah.
And where is she now?
I have no idea.
Where's the last time you saw her?
Bullhead City, I believe.
And that's when you left?
Yeah.
So last night, where did you stay last night?
I drove around all night last night.
You just drove around?
Yeah.
And today you were heading to where you camped before?
Yeah.
And what made you turn around and come back?
I don't know. I just saw U.S. government plates all over the place.
Kind of freaked you out a little bit?
Yeah.
And then, so you're like, I gotta get out of here. It's too much.
Yeah.
Too much heat here.
Yeah.
Did you feel like a lot of heat was on you, a lot of pressure this whole time?
No.
No? When did you start feeling that?
I didn't really feel it when I was out of state.
Okay.
But as soon as I got into Colorado, it was just like heavy.
Yeah. Like kind of anxiety.
Yeah.
Did you feel like that was a mistake coming back?
No.
No?
It's not. You guys deserve to know the story.
Yeah. This time, kind of being away, did you ever decide that, you know what, I'm just going to turn myself in? Why didn't you do that?
It was a thought in my mind.
But why didn't you? I mean, what? Why didn't you just come forward?
I'm afraid to go to jail. I'm afraid to go to prison. Like, I'm 20-year-old male, and if you guys call it murder, if you guys call it self-defense, like, mm-hmm. either way, I'm doing time for it.
Why'd you bring a gun in the first place?
Why did I bring a gun?
Yeah.
Because I always have had a gun on me.
What did you, I mean, do you think he was gonna?
No, I just usually had a gun on me when I did my deals.
Okay.
Were you nervous about Tanner?
Was I nervous about him?
Yeah.
Not really.
Didn't you have an issue with him before?
No.
I thought he tried to rob you or something.
No.
He ripped you off before, right?
No. Not that I remember.
Because we were, and this is why we're asking, because this is stuff we've learned.
Okay.
And it might not be accurate, and it's good that we're talking about it. But from what I understand, there was a point, even a couple years ago, I think they said a couple years ago, that he had ripped you off.
No.
And that Aaron had to get involved, and it was like, pay my brother back.
No.
That didn't happen?
No.
Okay.
That didn't happen with him.
Okay. Anyway, that's a story we were told about. And so, in our mind, like, it's good we're talking, because we had this vision of what happened. And I'll be honest with you, it's almost exactly what you're telling us.
Yeah.
Something like this is what occurred, and so it does make sense to us.
Yeah.
Because it sounded At that time, though, we were believing that Tanner had ripped you off before, so no, it would give
Tanner's
you pause.
No, Tanner's never been ripping me off. Tanner was always good on his shit.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, but don't reach for another man's gun.
How fast was his arm moving, you think? If you could, like, recreate it.
Show us.
I don't know. It was like that.
Okay.
Like, not super fast, like moderate speed.
You want to take a quick break? Let me get you some water.
Do you have...
Yeah, he's out of water.
Yeah, we'll get you some water.
Okay. You doing okay?
Do you mind if I use a restroom real quick?
No, sure.
I'll take you later.
It's okay. I always put my hands like this for some reason.
Fair enough.
Helps me straighten out my back.
There you go. Feels good to be out of the car, doesn't it?
Straight to the left.
Okay, right, this one.
It's good that Chris is used to standing that way, because after this next round of questioning, he's going to be doing it with handcuffs.
All right, man, sorry.
Doing all right?
Doing better? Yeah. Need some more water?
No.
Okay.
I think we're getting there.
Yeah.
We appreciate you sticking with us.
We gotta get some water, too.
Seriously.
Just some things that we still want to go over, and I'm just thinking about it, because I'm trying to picture your car, right, in the center console area. Mm-hmm. Describe that to me, and I've been in Cadillacs before, but not yours. So, is the gear shift in the middle?
Mm-hmm.
Is there like a little cubby hole in front of that, to like put phones or whatever?
The cubby hole's small.
Small?
But if you have the cup holders, mm-hmm. if you have nothing in the cup holders, usually it sits right there on top of the cup holders.
Your gun does?
Yeah.
Does the cup holders have like a flap over it, or it's like a solid?
Yeah.
You could put whatever there, gun, foam, whatever, mm-hmm. and it's not going to sink into the cup holders.
Yeah.
So the gun is sitting on top of that?
Yeah.
And I know it's kind of a fine detail, but which way is the gun pointing? Is it sitting, so I'm imagining, right, so here's mm-hmm. the console. The gun's here.
Yeah.
Is it pointing that way?
Usually I have it pointed out.
Okay.
Is it in a holster?
No.
Okay. Do you have one of them in the chamber?
What do you mean?
Do you have a round loaded end?
A round loaded end.
Was there a bullet inside the...
Usually I've always had a round loaded end.
Okay. So it's, positioning-wise, it's just, it's right there.
Yeah, it's just right there.
It's not, like, in the crack of your seat.
No.
And it's not in the crack of his seat.
It was on top of the car.
It's on top to where you can clearly see it.
Yeah.
He can clearly see that there's a gun right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was the flap shut or open?
The flap was shut.
So you couldn't see it?
What do you mean?
The flap was shut over the gun?
No, the flap just covers the cup holder.
Oh, okay.
And then and the it's gun on, top. On top.
Just sitting
flap.
Loose on top of it.
Okay.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then... You know, we had talked to Tara.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you the same thing. I mean, I'll just be very honest with you. Yeah. She cares for you.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to be involved, but she cares for you. So to help us keep her out of this, does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Tell me exactly what you told her when you went to her house directly after your house.
Honestly, I was freaking the fuck out. And sure. I was like... I just killed somebody, and I told her right then and there.
And what'd she say?
She's like, you did what?
Mm-hmm.
And then she started freaking out, but then she caught herself, and then she started consoling me, making sure I was good.
Okay. Did you tell her how it happened?
No,
you
I didn't
said
get
you,
into any details.
You just said that you'd killed somebody.
Yeah.
Did you tell her that he'd try to do anything to himself or that any other kind of story or anything like that?
Did he try to do anything to himself?
Yeah, did he shoot himself or
no,
anything like that?
No, I didn't tell her any of that.
Okay, you just told her...
Yeah.
I shot somebody.
Yeah.
Okay. And then she, after that, started consoling you or... trying to calm you down and be there for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So after that, and I'm still, we've talked about it briefly, but I want to come back to it. You had taken Tanner's phone, or his phone was in the car.
Yeah.
And his, you took his ID.
Uh-huh.
Did he have a fanny pack or anything else on him?
Uh-huh.
Or a backpack or anything?
No.
Did he usually?
No. I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
Usually he was just wearing clothes. He never had a backpack or anything on him.
Okay. But that day, after that happens,
mm-hmm.
what do you do with his stuff? With his phone? With his ID?
All of it went to the dumpster.
With your clothes?
Yeah.
And the towels? Yep. It was all together?
Yep.
What was it in?
A backpack.
You put it in a backpack?
Yeah.
What kind of backpack was it?
I don't remember. There's a black one.
Just a black backpack?
Yeah.
Is it something you had in your car, your home, or?
Yeah.
Where was it at? Where'd you get it from?
It was a gift.
It was a gift?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Is that backpack, did you throw a backpack in there too?
Which?
The one you put all the stuff in.
What?
His clothes, your clothes, and his ID, and
all of that shit should be in a black backpack somewhere.
So you threw away the backpack also?
Yeah.
Okay. So the rags, was everything together, or did you separate
it? Everything was together.
And it was all in that backpack?
Yep.
What day did you throw all that stuff away?
I don't remember. I held on to it for a couple of days. A
couple of days?
Yeah.
And this was after you had showered? Was it after, before, or after you went to your mom's house on King?
After.
After King?
Yeah.
Did you throw stuff away that you had cleaned there as well?
It was all in the backpack.
So the stuff from King, you also put in the backpack?
Yeah.
Okay. And with that, I mean, I'm going to let you know, we've already been there.
Yeah.
And there's scientific stuff that we do.
Uh-huh.
There seemed to be a significant amount of blood in the garage in King. Is that the way it was still?
Yeah.
How did all that stuff get all over, or was it just...
It was dripping outside of the car still.
Blood was dripping outside the car?
Yeah. Whenever you'd open the door, it'd still drip out.
It would drip way. Out onto the garage?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Must have been a lot of blood in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, why did you cover his head? Explain that to me again.
I don't know. It just him gurgling in his head, and it's a scary sight to see.
Did you cover it so nobody could see him when you're driving around?
No, I just...
It's because he was still alive and gurgling?
I don't know if he was still alive and gurgling, but like whenever you have... I've never seen that much blood in my life.
Really?
Ever.
Huh. Yeah, I can see that being scary.
Yeah.
Chris may not have a good track record of telling the truth, but sadly, the autopsy findings do back up that Tanner was alive and likely making horrible noises as Chris drove around. Tanner was shot behind his ear, striking and severing the carotid artery. He did not die from external blood loss. Rather, he died after several minutes of suffering due to the liquid from that artery draining into his lungs. Essentially, Tanner suffocated. But Chris isn't done leaving a path of destruction in his wake. His own ignorance is about to put his family at risk, and it's almost painful to watch how easily law enforcement gets him to throw his family under the bus.
Was there blood all over the ground at your place too, where you cleaned it up?
A little bit, not much.
Not much. Why was there more at your mom's house?
Because the steam cleaner.
Oh, that makes sense, because you're putting water into it.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that steam cleaner at?
I have no idea.
Did you leave it there?
At
your mom's?
It should be in the trash can. A dumpster, I don't know.
Her dumpster?
I don't know. I left it there, so.
Okay. So you left it in her garage?
Yeah.
You didn't get rid of it?
I spaced it.
Okay, that's fine.
Why would you think it's in a dumpster? Or?
I don't know. I just...
Did somebody throw it away for you?
I didn't see it. I didn't see it when I went back to the house after. So
after you cleaned, you had also went back again?
Yeah.
And it was gone?
Yeah. So I'm assuming it got thrown away.
Okay.
By who? My brother, maybe, mom.
Is it like a foreskin cleaner, like a carpet one?
It wasn't like a big one. It was like small.
Okay.
The last place you saw it was in the garage?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
No, that's fine. Good.
It was in the garage?
Yeah.
And then when you went back, did you park in the garage again? When you went back again?
I don't think so. I think I parked on the side of the street.
Okay. But you went into the garage and didn't see it there?
Yeah.
Okay. Who threw it away for you? I think you know. You're just trying to help him.
I mean, I'm not exactly sure if it was my brother or not.
Okay. Where do you throw it?
He didn't tell me.
He just told you you got rid of it?
Yeah.
Did he see you cleaning with it?
What?
Did he see you cleaning your car with it? The steam cleaner?
Yeah.
Yeah, you saw that? Okay, that's fine. I'm just curious.
The detectives care, because tampering with evidence is a criminal offense. Not that Chris seems to realize that with what he says next.
So he got rid of it for you, wasn't there. And the reason I'm asking is because I was there also in the garage and I didn't see it. That's why I'm making sure that...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. My brother told me it's gone.
Okay.
So it handled.
Were you worried or did you know that, you know, hey, the police are coming to get me. How do I avoid capture? How'd you do that? How did you help yourself stay away from us?
What do you mean?
Was there certain things you were doing?
Like what?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking. I mean, this is just for my future education of doing my job. What did you do to help us not be able to locate you? Because you kept away from us for a few weeks. Yeah. So what was it that you did?
What do you mean? Like my phone was...
Yeah.
My phone was off.
Was that on purpose to keep us from you?
I couldn't find a phone charger.
Oh.
Most of the time. I was trying to stay out of my car.
You want to stay away from your car?
Yeah, and then most of the time I had it off, too, just because, like, if you have your phone off, you're not able to track location.
Oh, is that why you turned it off?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. And then, like, you changed your plates out?
I had those plates.
You did?
Yeah, I actually went to St. Elmo with Tara. And bought them at St. Elmo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gotcha. But you changed those plates to keep us from seeing it, from finding it?
That was the hope.
That was the hope.
Makes sense. Yes. What else do we have? What about that? Where did you stay in Pacific? And who's that? What house did you stay in?
In Arizona.
In Arizona? Yeah.
I didn't stay in a house. I stayed in a...
You said somebody put you up for a little bit in a house.
In Arizona?
Laughlin. Laughlin, yeah, that's what it was. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Whose house did you stay in there?
I don't even remember the lady's name.
How did that happen? Like, how did you get into somebody's house?
Basically, my mom's friend lives in Laughlin.
Okay. So how'd that all work out?
Well, we were outside of the mall. My mom and I were.
Yeah.
And she walks in to go get a Western Union. And when she does a Western Union, basically she walks in and her friend walks out.
Oh.
And
it's just randomly?
Complete coincidence.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
So what happened?
Basically her friend was like, hey, what are you doing here? And then they started talking and then my mom was like, hey, can we stay at your house for a while?
Okay.
So,
how long did you stay there?
I stayed there for 2 or 3 days.
Okay. What was her name?
Susie, I think.
Susie?
Yeah.
Do you know her last name?
Not really.
It was nice for her to put you up for a little bit.
Yeah.
Save you some hotel money?
Yeah.
Okay. And that was a friend of your mom's?
Yeah.
How does she know her?
How does she know her?
How does your mom know her? Yeah.
I have no idea.
Okay. Fair enough.
Did Susie ever find out what happened?
No. Susie doesn't know.
Doesn't know?
She doesn't know anything.
Okay. You don't think your mom would tell her?
No.
Not even Chris's mom's friends are safe from his naivete. Law enforcement has just added another accomplice to the list because, quite frankly, his story of running into a friend by coincidence doesn't pass the sniff test, and harboring a fugitive is punishable by up to a year in prison.
Let's go back to the gun.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's reaching for it, right? But he doesn't touch it.
Yeah.
Is that right? But in your mind, it's sitting here.
Yeah.
He's kind of, his hands going towards it. Is that right?
Yeah.
Do you say anything to him? Like, hey, don't grab that?
No.
You just grab it. And I'm walking through this to make sure that I've...
Okay, so basically he starts to reach for it.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. Whenever I see somebody reach for my gun, I immediately grab it.
Okay. And then, but you grab it.
Yeah.
And what does his hand do? When you grab it, what's his hand do?
His hand was just like that. And then
you grab it and point at his head, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Does he? Is it? Did you have any other guns in the car, or just that one?
I just had that one.
Did he have one?
Not that I know of.
Did he have like knives or bats or sharp pens or anything?
No.
No weapons.
No.
Okay. So you pick it. You said his hand's kind of going for it, and you grab it to keep him from getting it, right?
Yeah.
Put it in his head.
Yeah.
And then, did he try to assault you at that point, or hurt you, or
no?
So
did he grab your arm, or did he grab you?
Well, what I understand is if he's, you're pointing the gun at his head.
Yeah.
So he's probably, is he like looking away from you?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, so that's probably why I came back here, right? Because he's looking away from you when you have the gun to his head.
Mm-hmm.
And correct me if I'm wrong. Am I right?
What do you mean?
Like, is that kind of how it was? You have the gun to his head and he's kind of looking away like this?
I feel like he knew he was f***ing up by reaching for my gun.
Sure. Okay. Wait, so hang on a second. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I feel like basically he was reaching for my gun.
Yeah.
And then I grab it, and then he's like...
So he looks away from me like that?
Yeah, just because he wasn't expecting me to grab it.
Yeah, sure. He probably doesn't want to get shot.
Yeah.
So how is he threatening you when you have a gun pointed at his head?
How is he threatening me?
Yeah, how are you?
He was threatened by grabbing my gun.
But once you have a gun at his head and he's looking away from you... Why'd you pull the trigger? Because he's not a threat to you at that point, right?
What do you mean? He was grabbing my gun in the first place.
But he didn't have it in his hands, or he didn't touch it, and you have him at gunpoint now, right? Right? And he's looking away from you. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Why do you feel threatened at that point?
Yeah. Why'd you pull the trigger?
These are just some things we need to know.
Gun safety.
How's that gun safety when you shoot somebody in the head?
What do you mean?
So let's rewind. You said that you felt threatened when he was grabbing your gun.
Yeah.
And I understand that.
Yeah.
But you grab your gun.
Okay. What do you mean?
Am I right?
I grabbed my gun before he could have my gun in his possession.
So then from there, you have your gun.
Yeah.
He doesn't have another gun.
No.
He doesn't have a knife.
He had trouble for it, right? Because he didn't touch it.
He was reaching for it, though.
No, but once you had it in your hand, then he's no longer a threat, right? Because he can't get your gun. Correct? Am I wrong?
Walk us through that.
What do you mean?
Tell us how you feel.
Which part?
How'd you feel?
Whenever somebody reaches for your gun, mm-hmm. and usually... I don't know what was going through my head.
Yeah.
But whenever somebody reaches for your gun, it's right there.
Sure. So then you grab it, though, and let's just go slow through this process.
We realize it happens like this.
We do.
Yeah.
We've been cops for a long time, so we understand the quickness of things happening.
Yeah.
But now's the time to slow it down, and let's break it down to that moment.
Yeah.
So now you grab it.
Yeah.
He doesn't have it. You explain. Tell me if I'm wrong. He kind of turns. I'm Tanner.
Yeah.
He turns like, oh shit. I made a mistake.
Yeah.
He's like this. You're like this. Is that correct?
Uh-huh.
Where's his arms?
Is his arms in front of him? Where's his arms at this point?
His arms are.
Is it still here? You're motioning like that.
I think it was like.
Okay, but so from there. Did you feel like you had, without a better word, you got the draw on him at that point, correct? So if you're going back to cowboy stages, two guys coming out with guns at the same time, a duel, you got the draw. Is that fair to say? He tried, but you beat him to it. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm just trying to help you explain.
We're trying to understand what your position is.
Yes.
Exactly what happened. And we recognize things happen fast.
I mean, I don't know. What happened in my head was that he was endangering my life. And at that point, when somebody reaches for your gun,
mm-hmm.
and in that moment, it's the gun's right there.
Sure.
The gun's right at his head. I was quicker to
the
draw.
Why'd you pull the trigger?
Gun safety.
What is that gun safety?
What do you mean? Don't point a gun at somebody unless you're ready to kill it. Or anything unless you're ready to fire.
So if you point, say if you're feeling scared and you point your gun at somebody, that means you get to kill them?
No, it doesn't mean you get to kill them.
Let me ask you something. If I'm a police officer, right?
Yes.
So say you did a burglary, and I see you coming out, and I point my gun at you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do I get to shoot you?
No, you don't get to.
Then why did you
don't have to.
Why did you get to shoot him?
You're right. You don't have to, right, at that point. And that's what would be the position that I would have to shoot somebody.
What I've always been told is don't aim a gun at anything unless you're ready to kill it.
Okay, and I understand that.
Or like,
so you're ready to kill him when you point your gun at him?
For the fact that he was reaching for my gun.
So this is we're just going to be straight, and this is our hang up with this a little bit, and help us understand this.
Okay.
You have the gun pointed at his head, right?
He's looking away from you.
He's looking away from you. He's not assaulting you. He doesn't have another gun. He doesn't have a weapon. Explain to me why at that point, that particular moment, that spot right there, let's pause.
Mm-hmm.
It's, vision this as a VCR DVD player, and you have to hit pause. You're like this. He's like that. His hands are here.
That's
why did you feel threatened right then at that point?
For the circumstances of the previous of his behavior.
Okay, but he didn't try to come back and take the gun, right? It wasn't a struggle or fight over it.
No, there was no struggle or fight.
Okay.
Did he even threaten you?
What do you mean threaten me?
Did he say, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kick your ass? Anything like that?
I asked him where my shit was at, and then he reached for the gun.
Could he have been reaching for your...
But he was reaching for the gun. That's what I saw. Slowly, that's what I saw.
So he was slowly moving his hand towards where your gun
was.
Yes,
which is right by
the
gun holder.
So then you decided that you get to kill him because of that?
Because he's reaching for my gun.
Okay. So, but there's no other weapons. There's no assault of behavior. Well,
I
he doesn't actually reach for your gun once you have it in your hands, right?
No. But at that point,
did he say anything when you pointed the gun at him?
No.
It was just that quick.
Yeah.
Even after multiple chances to backpedal on his gun safety claims, Chris remains steadfast in that being the reason why he shot Tanner. His increasing frustration is obvious as investigators pressure him for the first time. One officer is about to use a psychological tactic known as alternative scenario presentation, where they present other paths that the suspect could have taken, urging them to think critically about their actions. This is used to weaken their confidence in their original statement and perhaps even express remorse. But will Chris?
Okay. Thinking back now that we've paused it and we've slowed it down,
uh-huh.
Would you have done anything different?
Would I have done anything different?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would have probably never had a gun on me in the first place.
Sure. But you did.
I mean, that's usually how I would always sell.
And
that's how people always taught me how to sell.
And out of 100 times of doing it, nothing's ever happened. And then this one time, this guy does this.
Yeah.
But now that it's all done, now that we've slowed it down and we did the DVDR thing pausing, you know what I mean? Like, would you have done anything different?
I wish I didn't pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Do you think you should have pulled the trigger?
What do you mean?
I mean, do you think that was a good decision?
For reaching for my gun, that made sense to me in that moment in time.
In hindsight, what do you think?
In hindsight, no.
You think that was not a good thing to do?
Heat of the moment when somebody reaches for your gun, near your gun.
Yeah. But when you think about it logically... Okay. That's fair. It makes sense.
It does. And we appreciate everything. I don't want you to feel like we're trying to push you into something, saying something different than what happened.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
we're just getting an understanding of what happened.
Yeah.
And we just weren't there. Things happen. So.
All right, Chris. We really are almost done. We do have a few more follow-up things. Just thinking about it, and I want to be clear about this. We talked briefly about where you dropped Tanner off at the body in the cornfield.
Mm-hmm.
Walk me through that again. How did that happen?
What do you mean by
kind of
that?
Step by step.
Step by step. You're driving down.
Yeah.
You said it was Federal.
Yeah.
You see a field.
Yeah.
And then what happens from there?
And then from there, I was like, all right, well, I don't know what else to do with the body.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it into a field.
So tell me what you did with your car.
What do you mean?
Did you park on the street? You pulled into the field?
I drove into the field.
You know what? Let me see those markers. What color do you like?
Just take a marker there.
You a purple kind of guy? All right. So let's do...
Federal.
Federal. And then you have Shaw, right?
It's a Federal. And then Shaw.
Is that right?
Pretty much. And then there's Field.
And there's that field right here?
Yeah.
Big old field, corn stalks. So you come in, what, southbound Federal?
You're heading towards Denver.
Yeah. Okay. So let's take your marker. Okay. So, like right down here, so you turn on to Shaw.
Show us what you do from
there. And then this is the cornfield. Okay. Actually, let me see this. So let's say there's dirt here and corn. Does that look about right?
Yeah.
Okay, so show us what you do with your car.
There you go. So, maybe something like that.
Well, you stopped at some point and like backed up or something, right? And you pulled the body out?
Yeah. And then I get out. I tiptoe.
You tiptoed?
Not literally, but, whatever.
Did you walk lightly on purpose?
No. It's not. Sometimes I speak through music.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So like tiptoe through the window. I don't know. Sometimes that just gets stuck in my head.
Okay.
Basically, I walk.
Why don't you draw your car there for us? Like do a little box or however you want to draw a car. Okay. And that's the car?
Yeah.
Okay. What did you just draw there?
A car.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. So those are the wheels and...
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're facing that way. You get out of which door? Where do you get out?
I get out of the driver door.
Okay. Which way do you go around the car?
I'm not sure if I went around the front or the back. I think I went around the back.
Okay. Go around the back.
And then I open the door, and then I drag him.
To the corn. All right, man. I think we're about done. Is there anything else? I mean, we've talked a long time.
Yeah.
And is there anything in the back of your mind you want to tell us or anything else you want to get out? Because now's the chance to... Anything else, man?
So, go ahead. Where is it going to go from here?
We do have an arrest for your arrest warrant for you.
Okay.
So you're going to get booked.
Okay.
And then you'll be taken to Adams County.
Adams?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you a question real quick. Yeah. What would you want to tell his family?
I'd like to apologize to his family.
Why?
Because I took their son's life. That's a big thing.
Do you feel bad about that?
Of course.
Okay. Would you apologize to them?
Yeah.
All right.
I think they'd probably like that.
We will, we'll get a range. Is there anything else you could think of?
So I'm going to get booked, and then where's it going to go from that court?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You go to Adams County Jail for now.
Okay.
All right.
Is there anything else you could think of you want to tell us?
Phone calls.
You will make a phone call once you get up to Adams County. They'll let you do that.
Yep. This, I don't think the process here will take too long.
No.
Book you. Get you going. Get you something to eat up there if you like. And whatever. So if you get over here, whatever, or thirsty, just let us know.
Any questions for us? No.
Cool. We appreciate your candor.
Yeah.
I really do respect that.
I do.
So.
All right, Chris.
Good luck to you, man.
Yeah. We'll get you going. Okay?
Okay. And then for court, do I figure all that out at Adams?
Yeah. The whole process will be explained to you through the entire thing.
Cool.
Okay. Dates, all that kind of stuff will be explained to you.
And then how long? The court will figure it out, right?
Yeah. I can't tell you that. I really don't know the answer.
What do you think should happen to you?
I don't know. It's self-defense.
So what do you think should happen?
3 to 5 years.
You think you should get 3 to 5 years? If it's self-defense, why should you get 3 to 5 years?
What's self-defense regularly? I don't know.
Well, if it's self-defense, you're justified in doing what you did.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really watch court.
Do you feel like you're justified in what you did?
Yeah. 100%.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Yep. I'll just stay there. I'll have somebody come get you in just a little bit.
All right, guys.
Chris wanted 3 to 5 years, but instead he was sentenced to 35 years for second-degree murder on August 12, 2022. His gun safety logic didn't fly with the judge or jury, who determined that he did not have a valid reason to kill Tanner and that there was no self-defense at play. He is currently serving his sentence at Crowley County Correctional Facility, where he is not eligible for parole until 2046. Do you think Chris's actions were in self-defense? Yes or no? Let us know in the comments down below.